Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers, and right now, why we want to introduce our special guest for this evening. His name is Dan Sheehy, and we're going to be talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on your program.
Dan, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm going to have to get my producer here to see if we can figure out why we can't hear anything on my... So we're right... All right, Dan, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Dan, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and about, of course, how it came that you started to write this book on fighting immigration anarchy.
Sure. I've been a professional writer for 30 years. I have a degree in mass communications from Towson University in Baltimore, and have worked as a print and broadcast journalist for many years, and also as a corporate communications manager, writer, and editor for major corporations such as United Airlines and TRW. And after 9/11, September 11, 2001, I became very concerned and very interested in learning about immigration. And the more I learned about immigration, the more frightened I became for our freedom and independence, our sovereignty. And in January of 2003, I came up with the idea to write an immigration book unlike any other immigration book. Most of the immigration books that I had read were very well written and by some excellent authors, but I found them very discouraging and depressing and filled with lots of numbers. And I wanted to write a book of hope and inspiration. And I wrote a book titled Fighting Immigration Anarchy. The subtitle is American Patriots' Battle to Save the Nation. And what I did with this book was focus on a few individuals from different backgrounds who in different ways are trying to awaken the American people to the various problems created by massive immigration, primarily illegal immigration, and try to inspire the reader and encourage the reader to...
Voice in the background. Did you get the switch turned on the other side? Well, I mean, I'm hearing some noises in the background. I just wonder. Just ask him. Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah. So the point of my book is to enlighten readers, but also to inspire them to become like the people in my book. And really, the message throughout my book is that ordinary people with the courage to save our country can do extraordinary things.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dan Sheehy, and we're going to be talking about the immigration problem. And the very real problem is this. While our attention is focused on what's going on in Iraq, while American boys die over in the Middle East, we are losing our freedom here at home. America is being invaded. Our culture is changing. The very stability and sovereignty of our nation is at stake. Well, with that as the background, David, Dan, why don't you just pick up the story from there?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We are being we're being intentionally distracted. We, of course, on television and in the papers, we hear about celebrity trials constantly. We read and hear about attractive young blonde women who are kidnapped. But our government and our media aren't telling us what's happening to the American people and to the American middle class. And they're not telling us for a reason, and that is because they're controlled by a super elite made up of people from academia and major multinational corporations and the media. And these elites are seeking to permanently erase our borders under sovereignty and dismantle the middle class and on their way towards a new world order.
And I think this is really what's so important for people to understand, is while our boys are fighting overseas to maintain the freedom of this nation, our leaders are intent upon destroying our national sovereignty, breaking down our borders, merging the United States with Canada and Mexico and Central America, and then, of course, eventually bring us into a one-world government. But they can't tell the American people that, so they have to pretend that, oh, shucks, we just don't know how it is. We have all this immigration. Maybe if we just passed a law and made all the illegal immigrants legal, maybe if we give everybody an identification card so the illegal immigrants can't work here in the United States, everything will be fine. But the truth of the matter is, the people in charge really don't want to solve the problem. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a very accurate statement. And in fact, in March of this year, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was meeting with her counterpart Ernesto Derbez in Mexico City. And I have the transcript of that meeting. And during their meeting, they called for the integration of the United States with Mexico and Canada and the other countries in our hemisphere. And, of course, this was never reported by the news media. You didn't see this on the NBC, ABC, or CBS nightly newscast or read about it in your local newspaper. 2 weeks later, in late March of this year, President Bush held a meeting with President Fox of Mexico and Prime Minister Martin of Canada. And behind closed doors, they agreed in principle to merge the U.S. with Mexico and Canada. It was the same day that President Bush publicly, before the news media, called...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dan Shahey, and we're talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And, of course, the basic theme that I hope to get across to our listeners tonight is that while American boys fight and die overseas, why we are losing our freedom here at home. We're told we've gone to the Middle East to fight for democracy, for freedom. But the truth of the matter is, this is a gigantic distraction, and the real battle is being fought here for the minds and awareness of the American people. Our government could control immigration tomorrow if they really wanted to. They don't want to because, of course, they have a different agenda, and that is the destruction of national sovereignty, and certainly doing away with our borders and merging us with Mexico, Canada, Central America, and eventually all of the Americas, and then into a one-world government. And Dan was saying that Condoleezza Rice had met with her counterpart in Mexico earlier in 2005, and he has the transcript of that meeting, which he publishes in his book, and they talk openly about simply merging the United States with Mexico. And this is part of a much larger plan. And then you were just saying that President Bush held another meeting. And, of course, at one time, very shortly thereafter, he's talking about, you know, wanting to preserve America and our borders. But what did they decide at this meeting he held with the representatives of the other countries, specifically of Mexico?
Well, they basically agreed to a North American community, where there would be the free movement of trade, capital, and people. In other words, there will no longer be illegal immigration because people will be allowed to move freely into the United States from anywhere anywhere from Mexico or Canada, and eventually anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. And of course, this will bring wages down to absolute slave wages. But the goal here is to create a one-world government, and the elites cannot accomplish that goal until they have brought down the middle class in the United States.
And, of course, it should be very obvious this is what they're doing, because they're bringing in the Mexicans, they're inviting them, they're encouraging them to come, they're providing them with free health care, They're providing them with a subsidized education. Once they come here and the wife has a baby, it becomes an anchor baby, and now they become eligible for all sorts of welfare, and that's just exactly what the elites want, isn't it, Dan?
Well, it is, and what is so important, and you understand this probably better than anyone, Dr. Stan, and that is that the media have not told the American people about this. They have not told the American people that President Bush and President Fox and Prime Minister Martin met in late March of this year and agreed in principle to merge the three countries. Now, obviously, that's a fairly significant story, wouldn't you say? That deserves a banner headline on the front page of the New York Times and Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times, and of course should be the lead story on every evening newscast. But it was never discussed. And of course the reason it wasn't discussed, because the people who actually control the media are the same ones who control our government, and they don't want Americans to know about this, so they distract us. They distract us with everything from celebrity trials to the Iraq War. And they tell us every hour of every day of every month for the past 4 years since 9/11 that we are in a, quote, war on terror, unquote. And my question is, if we are in a war on terror, it sounds pretty serious, doesn't it, a war on terror, then why does our government intentionally leave our borders open and refuse to deport people in this country illegally who have come across the border illegally or have come in on container ships from communist China through our ports, or who have come here on various visas and overstayed those visas?
All right, let's get down to how many people are there actually illegally in the United States today. Do you have any idea?
In my book, I'm using the figure of 20 million. It could be higher, it could be a little bit lower, but I think 20 million is a very good figure. It was the figure used by Wall Street investment firm Bear Stearns in a report that they published in January of this year. And in that report, the authors stated that there are about 20 million illegal aliens in the United States today. And in the report, they estimated that illegal aliens hold between 12 million and 15 million jobs in our country, representing about 8% of the current labor force. And of course, Americans across this country are losing jobs to illegal aliens in a variety of businesses. This is much more than just the Mexicans who years ago were doing the agricultural work. Now they're doing just about every job in America. This Bear Stearns report went on to say that between 4 million and 6 million U.S. jobs have shifted from the legal workforce to the underground economy. And this is, you know, this is as employers are replacing American workers with this lower wage illegal labor subsidized by us, the American taxpayers.
And I think that this is really a very accurate figure within the last 6 weeks. A friend of mine was told by a federal banking official, a person was attending a meeting, and at that meeting, why representatives of banks here in Northern California were told that there were 20 million illegal aliens in the United States, and the banks were actually encouraged to work with these people to make it easier for them to send money back to the place of origin, usually in Mexico or in South America, and the people need bank drafts. So, and of course, there are ways of doing that. It's rather expensive. So our federal government wants to make it easier for these people who are here illegally, and so they encourage the banks to work and actually facilitate their transferring the money out of this country. Now, if I was living in Mexico and I was a Mexican peasant, I would want to come to the United States where I could get free medical care, the best medical care available, because by federal law, if you go to an emergency room, they have to take care of you. They can't even ask if you're an illegal alien, and they certainly can't report you if you are. You can certainly go into our universities, and here in California, you get subsidized education. In other words, if you are here illegally, why, you get an education far cheaper than if you were a citizen of the state of Nevada or the state of Oregon and you wanted to go to California to one of our universities or colleges. Now, why would that be? Well, why is it that the government refuses to prosecute the major corporations the meatpacking industry and other industries that they know are hiring illegal aliens. Why aren't they enforcing the law? Well, that's a rhetorical question, but you go ahead and answer it, Dan.
Well, of course, they don't want to enforce the law because that would go against everything that they're working towards. The executives with many of the multinational corporations are running the government. And it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that I am rereading Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto. I think this is my second or third time reading this book. And Karl Marx in The Communist Manifesto, which I believe he had written in the 1840s, calls for the abolishment of national borders and the merging of nations into a communist new world order. And that is exactly what is taking place in our supposedly sovereign United States of America today. The elites want to merge these countries, and they want to create a world economic system, basically bringing the people in all the nations into a slavery. And they're doing this by flooding us with this tremendous labor surplus from third world countries. And this is a race to the bottom. And this is going to, of course, send all of us into abject poverty. And this is all for the benefit of the greedy one-worlders for a profit.
And, of course, I believe that they really have even another agenda. That's certainly part of it will be profit. But that they really do believe in creating a one-world government under a ruling oligarchy. And this is exactly where we're headed. And the thing is that the politicians in both parties know exactly what's going on, or many of them do, and they're going right along with it. Now, my understanding is that there is this one congressman, Tom, and you probably can pronounce his last name better than I, he's from Colorado, but he is actually trying to get legislation through to do something about this invasion, massive invasion we have here in the United States. He has about 100 congressmen who are willing to sign up to do something, but, the leadership of neither political party is going to do anything about illegal immigration because it's actually being promoted, but they can't tell the American people that. I mean, they're lowering certainly the cost of building houses because these people who come and work for far less. They're lowering, of course, the cost of many employers because they can hire these people for very low sums of money. And when they get caught, hiring illegal immigrants, they may get a little slap on the wrist. But when Walmart was, caught hiring illegal immigrants, what did it cost them? A few $100,000. But nothing is really going to be done because they do not want to stop the invasion. This is the incredible thing. And as Dan says so well, we are in a race to the bottom because they're lowering wage standards here in the United States. So many people are losing their jobs, try to get another job. And they have to take a job that pays half or a quarter of what they were getting before. Have you run into that?
Well, I have. And it's important, Dr. Stan, to point out, as you so well know, this has been going on for decades. In 1965, our Congress amended the Immigration and Nationality Act. And what this did was it opened the immigration floodgates. It eliminated quotas based on national origin. It introduced this family reunification, which is also called chain migration. And this is why we have had, for several decades now, this massive population growth in our country. And it's interesting, Senator Ted Kennedy was the Immigration Subcommittee Chairman in Congress who managed this bill through the Senate. And on February 10th of 1965, he told his colleagues in the nation, "The bill will not flood our cities with immigrants. It will not upset the ethnic mix of our society. It will not relax the standards of admission. It will not cause American workers to lose their jobs," unquote.
And we'll hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dan Sheehy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly the Immigration Reform Act, when we repealed the McCarran Immigration Act, came in 1965. And that was at the very beginning of the Vietnam War. The casualty lists were growing. Our attention was focused overseas. We were watching the flag-draped coffins return and weeping widows and weeping mothers. But you see, while our boys were in Vietnam fighting for freedom, why they were changing the very structure of our society. It was a clever distraction. They knew exactly what they were doing. But you couldn't let the American people know. You certainly couldn't let the people who lost sons or certainly brothers or fathers know what was really going on. But let's talk a little bit about that Immigration Act, because that really was the beginning of trying to convert us from being, a society, a cohesive society based upon the English language and common values, common culture, common religion, to a multicultural society, a stepping stone to the New World Order. So pick up the story. I mean, why was this such a significant bit of legislation?
Well, significant because prior to that, between the years 1925 and 1965, America was primarily a low immigration country. We were living under immigration laws written in 1924, thanks to labor leader Samuel Gompers and others. And so during this 40-year period, the average immigration in the United States was about 178,000 per year. And as a result, the labor market tightened up, wages rose, and our country essentially became a strong middle-class society. And our many ethnic groups, mainly European, assimilated into a common national culture and English language. And then, as I mentioned earlier, and as you reiterated, in 1965, Congress amended this Immigration and Nationality Act. And what they did was they introduced family reunification and eliminated the quotas based on national origin. So with this family reunification, also called chain migration, it allowed immigration by relatives, including the spouse, minor children, parents, siblings, and adult children. And then the newcomers could later extend the chain to their spouses and relatives in the same way. And so as a result, since 1970, and that was just 35 years ago, we've added 100 million people to our nation's population. 100 million people in that 35-year period, which is just astonishing. And it's mostly a result of massive legal and illegal immigration. And it was the massive legal immigration that led to massive illegal immigration. And interestingly, the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C., just 2 weeks ago, published a new report that they compiled. It's based on U.S. Census data. And this report says that between the years 2000 and 2005, in other words, the past 5 years, we have had more immigration into this country than at any other period in our nation's history. And who has been president during this five-year period? President George W. Bush.
And, of course, he does have a plan. He wants to, of course, get rid of all the illegal immigrants here by making them all legal.
Exactly.
And, course, I mean, you wonder how stupid he thinks the American people are. And, of course, there are people who say, well, yeah, that would really solve the problem. But we're going to talk a little bit about how they promised the same thing back in 1986. They had a solution. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dan Sheehy, and we're talking about the American immigration anarchy and, of course, his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. But it was back in 1986 when Ronald Reagan signed legislation that was going to solve the immigration problem forever, and the government promised the American people. Well, I'm going to let you tell our listeners what happened at that time.
Well, it's interesting because in 1984, President Ronald Reagan, he sounded a dire warning, and he said, "But the simple truth is that we've lost control of our own borders, and no nation can do that and survive." So he made a truthful statement there, but then instead of deporting people who were illegally in our country and protecting our states from further invasion, as our elected officials are sworn to do under our Constitution, in fact, it's Article 4, Section 4, Congress and President Reagan passed the Immigration Reform and Control Act. It's also known as IRCA. And that was in 1986. And so for the first time ever, our government rewarded about 3 million illegal aliens, mostly from Mexico, with amnesty and a path to U.S. citizenship. Well, supposedly, as part of this act, they wanted to discourage more illegal immigration, so They included employer sanctions, making it against the law to knowingly hire illegal aliens. Well, the sanctions were never enforced. And now, as you pointed out, President Bush, Senator Kennedy, Senator McCain, several other senators and a few congressmen have proposed over the past year or two various bills of their own, and they call these guest worker bills, guest worker programs, which are nothing more than amnesty. So again, 20 years later, they want to pass another bill that would do the same thing as the one in 1986, and that is nothing. They are not going to deport the illegal aliens. They have no intention of doing so. But the good news is, and really this is the focus of my book, is that there are citizen activists across the country, and the numbers are growing. And you mentioned one of them, although he is a congressman, Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo. And these people are out there, and they are trying to save our nation, our sovereignty, to restore our borders, to send the illegal aliens back home. And it's interesting, Dr. Stan, Mexico, which is where most of the illegal aliens come from, Mexico is a very rich country. In fact, Mexico is the richest of all the Latin American countries. Those people are treated horribly by the elitists. And, in fact, there are more billionaires in Mexico than in all of the rest of Latin America. But because these people are treated so terribly in Mexico and in other parts south of the border, other countries south of the border, they come to the United States where they get jobs that pay a little bit better than they're, or quite a bit better, I should say, than they're earning in Mexico and Central America. And, of course, they get lots of free welfare, free education, free medical care, and Americans have to pay for all of this. We subsidize all of this, and we have to stand in line behind the illegal aliens in the emergency room waiting to be treated.
And this is really so incredible when you stop and think what's happening. With the influx of illegal immigrants, why we not only are taxing our health care delivery system and many emergency rooms, especially down in the border states, are simply closing down. They can no longer afford to operate. We're not only certainly, adding to the cost we have to pay for our own medical care, because after all, if the hospital has to give away free medical care to illegal immigrants, they've got to raise your hospital bill. But even more than that, of course, they're bringing in new diseases. Did you cover that at all in your book?
Yes.
All the diseases that are coming in with the illegal immigrants?
Yes, I did. We are experiencing, as you know, outbreaks of tuberculosis in schools and businesses. Illegal aliens are also spreading diseases such as HIV and hepatitis, malaria, polio, even leprosy. And what's important for your listeners to realize, this danger exists even if we don't have any physical contact with illegal aliens, because illegal aliens often take jobs as food service workers in restaurants, hospitals, and schools. And, of course, public restrooms are another place that's vulnerable to indirect contact.
And, of course, the thing is that a lot of the tuberculosis they're bringing in is drug-resistant tuberculosis. In fact, many times people coming across the border illegally are given cards and directions by the people in Mexico telling them, you know, as soon as they get in the United States, you go to a local hospital and they'll have to treat your tuberculosis. And they can't tell the immigration people about that. And what we're doing is seeing a resurgence of leprosy in this country. Leprosy had almost been completely removed, and now it's coming back. Why? Because our leaders are intentionally fostering this illegal immigration movement right here in the United States. Well, this is Dr. Stan Becker at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dan Shahey, and we're talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And it really is a situation of anarchy that we have here in the United States. And certainly we not only see this effect on health care, But we see what this really does as far as our housing market. There's certainly... they're actually helping illegal immigrants to buy houses in this country, buy them at nothing down. And, of course, what's that doing? It's continuing to drive up the cost of housing. You don't even necessarily have to have any credit record. And, you know, then, of course, there's an organized effort to allow the illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses or to get other forms of identification so that they can drive here in this country. Because, why, we wouldn't want them driving illegally, would we? What sort of madness is this?
Well, it is madness. It's insanity, and it's why I titled my book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. This is anarchy. It's lawlessness. Our government officials who swear in the Bible to uphold the Constitution and enforce our laws, so many of them are refusing to do so. You touched on many, many terrible symptoms. The housing market, of course, I think it's about 14% of the American public now is able to afford a home, which is down dramatically from recent years and decades. And illegals are getting these loans from the government, really from us, the taxpayers, to buy homes, and of course it's becoming more and more difficult for American citizens to buy homes. Also, of course, when you have 10,000 people coming across the southern border illegally, which is the number I quote in my book by the head of the U.S. Border Patrol.
Now, that's what, 10,000 people a day?
10,000 a day. Only 3,000 are apprehended because our U.S. Border Patrol is outnumbered. There are about 10,000 U.S. Border Patrol agents, and our government does their best to make sure that that the border agents aren't able to do their jobs very well. These are dedicated men and women and want to do their jobs, but the U.S. government is it makes it difficult for them. And so you've got several thousand a day, up to 10,000 a day, every single day coming across the southern border, and only 3,000 are apprehended. That means 7,000 make it into the heartland of America. This is why we're seeing this incredible sprawl and congestion in our cities and our communities, and people are moving, forced to be moving further and further away from cities because they can't afford to live in cities now because they're so overpopulated, and of course, just because they want a better quality of life, they're trying to get away from the big cities.
Hold that thought there for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Dan C. And before we go on, Dan, why don't you tell our listeners about your website and how they can get your book?
The website is the same as the title of the book. It's fightingimmigrationanarchy.com. And there you can find plenty of information about the book, a table of contents, a free chapter, media reviews, reviews from readers. A number of readers have posted reviews on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and calling this the best immigration book they've ever read. My complete book tour is also on the website, and there's a bio about me, and of course there's information about where you can order the book. And you can order the book just about anywhere. You can order it from my publisher. My publisher is Author House. You can go to AuthorHouse.com and order it there. You'll get your best price there. If you don't like ordering products online, you can call my publisher at 1-888-280-7715. You, of course, also can order the book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and many other bookstore websites. You can also go to your local bookstore and order it there. And I have great news, and another publisher. In fact, I reached an agreement with a new publisher, a new traditional publisher, just this past week. They're going to reissue my book, and published again in late March of 2006. The book will be in bookstores across America, and my new publisher believes that this book will become a national bestseller. So I'm very excited about this news, and I'm hoping that I can awaken thousands more Americans across the country as to the seriousness of this illegal immigration crisis and what's driving it, what's really behind it.
Well, I certainly concur. I hope that the book does become a bestseller, because I think this is so important. The American people understand that what is happening is not happening by accident. It's not happening by incompetence. It's happening as part of a carefully conceived plan to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, but they cannot allow the American people to find out the truth. Now, one of our callers had called in, and he wanted to know, well, gee, if we deport all of these illegal aliens here, where will the restaurants get their people to work, and where will businesses get workers that they need, and won't that seriously impact our economy? I mean, after all, if we send all these people who are here illegally away, where are we going to get people to work the jobs here in the United States?
Well, of course, I don't think we need to deport these people, or at least we don't need to deport a lot of them. I believe if we simply enforce the immigration laws that are already on the books, that, in other words, cracking down on the employers who are illegally hiring these folks, that many, many will go home.
And, of course, we cut off their welfare benefits.
Yes.
We get legislation enacted so that if they come here illegally and they have a child, that child is not an American citizen. It is not an anchor baby. These people are not entitled to welfare. And if they didn't have jobs, they'd go back to Mexico. But why should they leave the land of milk and honey when we are giving them free education, free health care, free welfare, you know, subsidized housing? They get these jobs. They don't have to pay the taxes that other people do. They've got it made. And if they would enforce the laws and simply say to the large employers like Tyson and others, you are going to go to prison for violating the laws, why, this whole thing would end tomorrow. But, you see, that's not what they want to do. They don't want to solve the problem. And then, of course, the question comes up, where would we get our people to work in the fields? Well, how would you answer that? They're going to say, well, but a lot of Americans don't want to work in those fields. I mean, it's hot, heavy work, and you have to do a lot of bending over. So how are we going to get people to help harvest the crops?
Well, of course, just like between 1924 and 1965, when we had low immigration, the wages in this country rose, and we had the strongest, most prosperous middle class the world has ever seen. And Americans, of course, will do these jobs if they're paid a fair wage. And that's what it really comes down to. You know, I did many of these jobs working my way through school between the ages of 16 and 22, like millions of other Americans. I worked in restaurants. I parked cars. I worked on an assembly line packing encyclopedias. I worked as a landscaper. I worked as a dishwasher. I did these jobs, and so did millions of other Americans. And when the illegals go home, and I believe they are going to go home because I believe we are going to prevail in this fight. It's going to get very ugly before it gets better, but we are going to prevail. But when these illegal aliens go home, and many of them will go home voluntarily, then employers will be forced to hire Americans at fair wages. The illegal aliens who do not go home voluntarily, they will be deported. And that is what is going to happen in this country, and it has to happen if we are going to preserve our sovereignty and keep our independence and freedom.
Well, of course, the question is, are there enough Americans who really appreciate these concepts of sovereignty? And of course, freedom is dependent upon our sovereignty. You destroy our sovereignty, then we will have the same exact rights that the Mexican peasant has. You destroy our sovereignty, and we will have the same wage structure that the people of Bolivia have today. And that is the real plan, as I always love to say. They want to raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Bolivian peasant. And then people always say, but those people are impoverished. And I say, that's exactly right. That's exactly what they're doing. Why do you think that they're encouraging our industries to move overseas and actually subsidizing them over in China and other countries? Why do you think that they've destroyed our tariffs, which were used to build a strong economy here in the United States? Do you think our leaders are stupid? Of course not. It's just that they have a different loyalty, but they cannot tell the American people. Would that be a fair statement?
It's a very fair statement. These people are brilliant. You have to hand it to the, whatever term you want to use, communists, socialists, globalists, internationalists. They all aim for one thing, and that is a one-world government. But they are truly brilliant, and they're extremely patient. This has been going on, you know, frankly, it's been going on for many, many decades with the income tax and these perpetual wars. killing off Americans and bleeding us dry. The war in Iraq right now, well, of course, Iraq didn't attack us on 9/11. They had nothing to do with it. They never attacked us. But we are spending hundreds of billions of dollars over there, supposedly spreading democracy throughout the Middle East. Well, of course, democracy is not a good thing. That's mob rule. The United States is a constitutional government. And so these are all distractions. And our leaders and the people who are actually leading our leaders, the shadow government, in other words, they are truly brilliant. But I believe that more and more Americans, I don't believe it, I know it for a fact because I follow this on a daily basis. There's a grassroots legion numbering in the tens of thousands, if not at this point, hundreds of thousands of Americans, and new troops are coming on board daily as more Americans are waking up and wondering where their country went. And many of these citizens have reached a boiling point over the deteriorating quality of life in America now and the illegal alien invasion and Mexican colonization of America. And many of these patriots belong to dozens of immigration reduction organizations across the country. It's really amazing, Dr. Stan, because I see more and more springing up on a weekly basis. I find it very encouraging and very inspiring that more and more citizens are becoming angry about this. They are getting involved. They're either initiating things, actions on their own, or they're joining already existing groups. And I believe that this movement is going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And, of course, we have a fabulous opportunity coming up in 2006 in November with a major election. That's when all of the members of the House of Representatives come up for re-election, and one-third of the Senate is up for re-election. And I believe there's a large number of governors also up for re-election. This is a tremendous opportunity for Americans to do something about their country, their quality of life, their sovereignty, and of course, my focus is the massive illegal immigration. And we are seeing people such as Jim Gilchrist, the founder of the Minuteman Project, who ran for Congress a few weeks ago here in Orange County, California, and he was able to garner 25% of the vote running as an independent, and he was able to raise $600,000 from patriotic Americans. And I think we're going to see more people like Jim Gilchrist announce congressional candidacies in the coming weeks and coming months. We really have more power than we realize. The elitists have a lot of power. They have the money. But they also are bullies, and bullies can be beaten if enough Americans wake up. I don't think we need the whole country to wake up, but we need a large minority of Americans to wake up and get involved in this fight.
But now, of course, first of all, when there were the Minutemen down along the border, why the President of the United States referred to them, President Bush referred to them as vigilantes. In other words, he was, of course, deprecating these people who are trying to do something. And there are other people who call them racist and, you know, that they hate Mexicans. And, you know, everything is being done by the controlled media to demonize the people who are really trying to point out that the sovereignty of our nation is being progressively eroded as part of a planned program being carried out by the leaders of both of our political parties. Now, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the American people to realize that these are not vigilantes? These are peaceful people who are doing certainly what every law-abiding citizen should do, and that is reporting people who are violating our laws. But then some of the people who are violating their laws are right in Washington, D.C., and nothing's done about them.
I think the majority of Americans truly understand that the Minutemen and Minutewomen were down on the border beginning in April of this year and again in October in far larger numbers on both our north and southern border. I think the majority of Americans realize these are just regular Americans, are not racist. They're not gun-toting racist vigilantes. These are just regular Americans. And I'll tell you, Dr. Stan, that I've spoken to a number of organizations in Southern California since my book was published in July. And I've met a number of these Minutemen and Minutewomen, And these are just regular grandfathers and grandmothers of all backgrounds who simply are fed up with our government's refusal to do their job, and that is to control our borders, to secure our borders, and to deport the illegal aliens. So Americans are standing up and saying, you know something, we're going to do something about it. We're going to take this into our own hands peacefully. In fact, Jim Gilchrist, the founder of the Minuteman Project, co-founded it with Chris Simcox. Gilchrist is quoted in my book as saying, if our own elected officials will not defend our nation's border, American citizens will. And that's what they are doing. And in fact, the Minuteman organization now is a corporation. Chris Simcox now is the president of their organization. And his goal, I spoke to Chris just a few weeks ago, and his goal is to have a Minuteman organization in every single district in the United States. Every congressional district in the United States. And I believe he already has about 35 Minuteman chapters in congressional districts. And it's growing by leaps and bounds, I'm told. And I believe more and more Americans are waking up. They're seeing their quality of life deteriorating. They're seeing this Mexican colonization. They're seeing our president and many others in Washington refusing to do the jobs that we hired them to do. And I know we're going to see more Americans like Jim Gilchrist running for office. And perhaps there's, you know, some of your listeners may want to think about running for office too. You don't have to run for the House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate. You can run for office in your own community. And in fact, I think this is how we're going to win the battle, and that is taking back our country, community by community, city by city, county by county, because the feds in Washington, D.C. have no desire, except for a few patriotic Americans, such as Congressman Tom Tancredo and a few others. Most of the elites in Washington refuse to do their jobs. So it is up to us Americans to do it.
Well, of course, my understanding is that, number one, that the Ford Foundation has put up a tremendous amount of money to finance the illegal immigrant movements. Have you run into that at all?
Yeah, I have, and I write about that throughout my book. And in fact, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, because as we were discussing earlier, in 1965, Senator Ted Kennedy pushed through amending the Immigration and Nationality Act, and President Lyndon Johnson signed it into law. And interestingly, that bill went into effect 3 years later, 1968. And what happened during that year? Well, the Ford Foundation created the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. It's also known, the acronym is MALDEF. And the Ford Foundation also that year created the National Council of La Raza. La Raza means the race, meaning those of Mexican descent. And what the Ford Foundation wanted to do, as do several other incredibly wealthy taxes-exempt foundations, they want to balkanize our country. They want to break us up, and they want to flood us with people, millions and millions of people, from completely different backgrounds, from third-world countries, and they're very successful at it, obviously. But just look around your communities and you can see it. But the Ford Foundation has given tens of millions of dollars. Perhaps it's hundreds of millions. I don't know. But I know for a fact it's tens of millions of dollars to these racist Hispanic organizations.
And they really are racist organizations. And for our listeners out there, we have kept in print for the last decade or more a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. That is based upon hearings that were held by a congressional committee back in 1953 and 54. It was known as the Reese Committee. And what they discovered was that the Ford Foundation, along with the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundation, were financing socialist and communist organizations here in America, pushing a Marxist philosophy and trying to destroy the love which every American should have for his family or for his country. And what people do not know is that the investigation showed how these people were intent, and I'm talking about the great foundations, of changing the structure of our society, pushing internationalism, they financed Kinsey, or at least the Rockefeller Foundation financed Kinsey. Why did they finance Kinsey? Because they wanted to destroy the moral foundation of this country. And the fact that most people have never heard what we're saying simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Ladies and gentlemen, America is under attack today. We're not under attack from the Islamic terrorists. We haven't had one terrorist attack in the United States since September 11, 2001, over 4 years, not one major terrorist attack in America. Where is the real war being fought? The war is being fought here in America for the hearts and minds and souls of our people. And we've got to get them educated. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dan Sheehy, and we're talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And we really do have a state of anarchy here in the United States. And certainly, as you begin looking into the background of this funding of this movement here, this immigration movement, and you're finding the Ford Foundation is funding it. In fact, I saw the other day in the newspaper where Congress had voted a great deal of money for LULAC, which is another one of a very similar sort of groups, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's important to point out to your listeners that there are many, many loyal Hispanic Americans who love this country and are just as angry. In fact, in some cases, they're angrier over this illegal alien invasion, because it hurts them and it hurts Black Americans the most, because they are at the lowest rungs of the economic ladder. So I don't want to portray all Hispanic organizations as racist, because they are not. But there are a number of them that are, and they're what I would call separatist Hispanic organizations. One of the people who endorsed my book, and in fact she's quoted on the back of the hardcover edition of my book, is a lady by the name of Lupe Moreno. And Lupe is president of the Latino Americans for Immigration Reform. She lives in Orange County, California. And I just want to read her endorsement of my book, because I think it says a lot. She says, "Where are the Americans? I asked myself with dread when I realized that our government had let the illegal alien problem get away from them, maybe even helped create it. Dan Sheehy's book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, is a witness to history, a tribute to those who foresaw the destruction in the making and fought like tigers, no, battled like Americans, to stop the destruction of this nation. I have stood and fought with the great heroes in this book, and I am proud to call each one a friend." And I thought that was a beautiful testimonial from Lupe Moreno. And she is a great American patriot who is fighting for our nation, for our sovereignty, for our way of life, our quality of life. And Dr. Stan, as you pointed out many times during the past hour and other broadcasts of yours, the media refuses to tell the American people the truth, not only about the illegal alien invasion, but many other crises that are being created by the elites. And as you know, in 1983, 50 corporations controlled most of the major media outlets in the United States. And last year, 2004, that number had dwindled to just 5 giant corporations dominating the mass media.
You're going to have to hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest has been, of course, Dan Sheehy, and his book is Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and we'll probably be carrying the book, and we're putting together a 4-tape set on this subject. We think it's so vitally important that people understand what's really going on. Understand that one reason we are over in Iraq and we're not going to bring our boys home is because Iraq is a wonderful distraction, so we don't see what happens here at home. We saw the same thing in Vietnam. And during those years when our boys were fighting and dying in Vietnam, why, they took God and prayer out of our schools. The Supreme Court found a woman had the right for an abortion to kill the unborn child in her womb. They changed our immigration laws. They began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. But the average American doesn't understand we did not go to Vietnam to fight communism or to bring freedom to the people there, because certainly the mightiest nation in the world could have done that if we'd really wanted to. it was a distraction. And any of you who really doubt that, you'll want to get a copy of my latest newsletter. It's called Deja Vu in Iraq. And we simply quote other writings of a man named McGeorge Bundy, member of Skull and Bones, Council on Foreign Relations, National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, who got us involved in the war, President of the Ford Foundation. And McGeorge Bundy explains in the January 67 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine that Vietnam is a distraction. And as he wrote, the road forward at home is not by retreat in Vietnam. If we were to pull out of Vietnam, there would be a tremendous reaction against our domestic programs. And that's what it was all about in Vietnam. And that's what, at least in part, Iraq is all about today. So understand what's going on. If you'd like a free copy of that newsletter we're talking about, Deja Vu in Iraq, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of that newsletter. Of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, and certainly on the American Freedom Network, on the Genesis Network, on the Radio Liberty Network, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. And then, of course, you can get our shortwave broadcasts. You can also pull us down off Telstar 5 now, which is satellite, with 24-hour-a-day Christian programming. It's our answer to Howard Stern. And so we do hope that many of you will not only listen to our programs, but you'll tell your friends about it. Now, if you are hearing this rebroadcast back on the Here's Help Radio Network in the Midwest, remember we do a program every Saturday at 12:30 on the stations that you're listening to tonight or today. So please help us by telling other people about our program. Encourage them to listen and tell them they're going to hear things here that they're not going to hear elsewhere. Because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle, and behind everything that's going on today, the effort to destroy America, our powerful spiritual forces, we're involved in a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. So until we're together again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. The views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Our guest this evening is Dan Sheehy, and we're talking about his book, The Fighting Immigration Anarchy. That's Fighting Immigration Anarchy. It's a very important book. It's a very important subject because America is under attack today. And when you understand that, everything really makes sense. If you don't understand that, if you don't understand that people in Washington, D.C. know exactly what needs to be done, and they refuse to do anything about it, because their real goal is not the integrity of this country. It is creating a multicultural society so they can play one group against another. The real goal is to lower the living standards of the United States citizens and do away with the middle class. The real goal is to do away with our national borders and merge the United States first into a common state in Mexico, the United States, and Canada, and then, of course, with the central countries of the Western Hemisphere, the Central America, and then with all of Central America and South America. This is part of a long-range plan. They know exactly what they're doing, but they cannot let the American people know what's going on. It's very interesting. We travel down to Los Angeles. I do occasionally go into Orange County, and you turn on the television set in your motel, and you get a Spanish-speaking station. You go to the next station, it's Spanish-speaking. You go to the next station, it's Chinese. You go to the next station, it's Arabic. And eventually you'll come upon an English-speaking station. Have you run into that down there, Dan, as you look at television? Aren't there an awful lot of Spanish and other foreign-speaking television stations?
About that, throughout my book, of course, living here in Los Angeles, as I have for many years, I've seen how this has changed for the worst rather dramatically. If you scan across the AM or FM dials here in the Los Angeles area, it's becoming increasingly harder to find an English language station. One of my favorite classical stations is surrounded by Spanish language stations, and I often am not able to pick up this classical station. I do write about that throughout the book, where I am estimating, based on my research, 2 years of research into this book, that one station per week in our country switches from English-speaking station to Spanish language station. I'm referring to radio stations. And it's interesting, Dr. Stan, because I found buried in a business story in the Los Angeles Times a number of weeks ago, the third quarter financial results for a company called Univision. Univision is the largest Spanish language communications company in the United States, and their biggest property is a television network, the Univision television network. And buried in this Los Angeles Times business story, I found that Univision ranked number two in our country this past summer among people aged 18 to 34. They were the number two TV network in the United States during the summer, ahead of ABC, CBS, and NBC.
And because it's Spanish-speaking.
Yes, it's Spanish-speaking.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Dan Sheehy, and we're talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And it was back about 1987, 1988, when Senator Hayakawa was back in the United States Senate, And Senator Hayakawa was a Japanese-American, but he was really, he was an American first, or maybe he was an American who was Japanese, but he was very concerned, that, what he could see even at that time, about the dangers of a multilingual society, because language, like religion and race, tend to bind a country together. And so, you know, even though he was Japanese, he wanted the language of the United States to be English. Actually, he taught English, I believe, at one of the universities out here, writing or something, journalism of that sort. But he realized the importance of a common language to bind a nation together, and he tried to get through legislation in the United States Senate to say that English will be the legal language and the only legal language here in the United States. And he ran into tremendous opposition. I remember that Congressman Dannemeyer was working with him at that time. And of course, the question was, why would anybody object to having English as the legal language of the United States? And, of course, I don't think either one of them understood at that time that there is a master program, a master plan, to bring us from being a unified nation into a multilingual nation, into a multicultural nation, so that they can play one group against the other. They can play the Muslims, and we have millions of Muslims in the United States, you know, against the whites, and we can play the whites against the Mexicans, and the Mexicans against the blacks. They know exactly what they're doing, and so often you'll hear the people, the commentators, when they're talking to a black person, bring up the race issue, and that's something, not something that the black person has brought up at all, but they keep bringing it up over and over again. Why? Because they're trying to promote racism in America. And even though there's a tremendous amount of goodwill between blacks and whites here in the United States, and between Anglos and Hispanics in America, and there are a lot of wonderful Hispanic people, there is a planned program to actually alienate us one from the other, and to call anybody who's concerned about illegal immigration a racist. And you hear this term used, or as our president referred to the people in the Minuteman group, referring them to as vigilantes. And what were they doing? Well, they were sitting on the border, or they were standing on the border with their binoculars, reporting the information to the Immigration Service, and that qualified them for our president as being vigilantes. There's something seriously wrong with this. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dan C. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dan, why, we will take calls this hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. But you know what? There's so many things that are really extremely disturbing to me. And certainly we find a real problem, certainly in our schools, and we find, you know, many of our schools have done everything they could to avoid taking the children into the English language. They've stressed keeping these children who come in here from other countries still in the Spanish language rather than forcing them to learn English so they could simply become part of our society. Have you run into that?
Well, I have, and I write about it fairly extensively in the book. One of the six patriots that I feature in my book is Glenn Spencer, and Glenn has been fighting this illegal alien invasion since 1990, so 15 years. He's down on the Arizona-Mexico border now, living there, and using various media to educate Americans about the seriousness of the crisis. And he explains in my book that the Spanish language is really an attempt. There are several motives to it. One, it keeps the people, the illegals here, it keeps them speaking their language. Instead of assimilating into America and becoming Americans and learning our language, and it also is a way for the Spanish language media to inform the illegal aliens about possible roundups by the Border Patrol, or to inform them about those terrible Minutemen, those so-called vigilantes who may be coming to their city or their community. So So the Spanish language media is really a propaganda tool. And it's, as I pointed out earlier, it's become huge now with Univision being the second largest TV network, at least this past summer, among the 18 to 34 demographic.
And, of course, the thing is that we've got a real problem in America. In the state of California, I don't know what the exact cost is, but I've heard that it may be costing as much as $8 to $10 billion to provide services and health care and education for the illegal immigrants. Do we have any idea how much it's costing down there in Los Angeles?
I don't know about Los Angeles specifically. There are different figures, but you are correct in that for the whole state of California, it costs American taxpayers in California $10 billion, with a B, $10 billion a year to educate, to medicate, to incarcerate the illegal aliens. And, of course, if we didn't have this problem, California wouldn't be bankrupt. And California is bankrupt, just as the United States is bankrupt. The United States is more than $8 trillion in debt, but you're not going to hear the news media talk about that. Instead, as you've pointed out, they distract us with the war in Iraq. And speaking of the war in Iraq, we have been in this so-called war on terror for 4 years now. And the war on terror, of course, was a term that the government came up with just in the days following 9/11. And amazingly, all of the news media outlets picked up the same term, war on terror. And we hear about the war on terror every hour of every day, of every month, for the past 4 years. And my question to your listeners is, if we're in a war on terror, which sounds pretty serious, a war on terror, if we're in a war on terror, why is our government not securing our borders and refusing to deport illegal aliens here? We don't know who these people are, what they plan to do here. So this tells me that there's something very fishy about the so-called war on terror.
And you know what's even more startling is, if you stop and think about it, World War II lasted for less than 4 years. We've been at this war on terror for over 4 years. We haven't even tried to catch the master culprit, at least the man we're told is the master culprit behind it, Osama bin Laden, as of June of last year. Why, Portagos, the head of the CIA, said he had a pretty good idea exactly where Osama bin Laden was, and then his remark was, next question, because he doesn't want to tell the American people where he is, and he sure doesn't want to tell the American people why we're not trying to catch him. We never have tried to catch Osama bin Laden, so we've been at this war longer than World War II. What's wrong with this scenario?
Well, we have, and in fact, the epilogue of my book is titled My Vacation with the FBI. And during my writing and research of this book, I was interrogated by the FBI. This went on for several days in Maryland, where I was vacationing with my 89-year-old father and my brother. And this was in July of 2004. And this, I became amazingly, and if anybody could see me, they could see I have blue eyes, I have dark brown hair, I'm slender, I am shorter than the average man, I don't even own a gun, and I became the focus of a multi-state national security investigation, which the FBI told me reached the highest levels of government.
How did they even know you were writing the book?
Well, it's interesting because I took a side trip up to Binghamton, New York, my birthplace. This was in July of 2004. And I went up there to visit with my adopted family and to meet my birth mother for the first time. And I was getting together with my family, and I hadn't seen them in a couple of years. And of course, we're just talking about the usual things families talk about, and they asked me what was I working on. I said, well, I'm writing a book. I'm writing a book about the massive illegal alien invasion of our country. And I had told them what was happening in Southern California and the American Southwest and how this was spreading across the country. And I'd also told them, Dr. Stan, that just 2 days before I came to visit them, I had read a book review on a website called Newsmax.com. and it was a review of a brand new book by a former FBI consultant. The book is titled Osama's Revenge, The Next 9/11, What the Media and the Government Haven't Told You. And this review I found very startling because, according to this book author, Al-Qaeda has already brought into the United States a number of suitcase-sized nuclear weapons. And he believes that it's most likely they came across our border with Mexico. So I'm telling my family in Binghamton, New York about this. And 2 days later, I had returned back to my dad's home in Frederick, Maryland. And the next morning, there were three FBI agents in my father's home wanting to question me. And they asked me, the first question they asked me was, do you have any idea why we're here? And I, of course, said, I have no idea. And the second question was, do you have nuclear weapons in the trunk of your car? This is three FBI agents with their guns in my father's kitchen. And I'm wondering, what in the heck is going on here? This was in the midst of me writing my book, and in fact, that very week, I had planned, and I eventually did go down to Washington, D.C., to interview Congressman Tom Tancredo and for my book, who, I feature him in my book, and Roy Beck, who is executive director of NumbersUSA.com. So it's very interesting how this all happened in the same week that I was doing some of my most serious interviews for my book.
No, let's get a little bit of the background. They ask you if you've got nuclear weapons in the trunk of your car, and did you ask them why they were wondering? Did you let them look in the trunk of the car?
Well, they didn't. That first day of questioning, they didn't even want to look in the trunk of the car.
Well, why would you even allow yourself to be questioned? You never should, because if you say anything, they can always come back and say you lied. You go to prison because you lied to a federal official. You never talk to an FBI agent without a lawyer present.
Well, of course, I certainly understand with executive orders and the Patriot Act that they could have thrown me in prison for the rest of my life and thrown away the key, but I had nothing to hide, and I felt that if I had told them to leave and given them a hard time, then they would have come down harder on me. As it is, I didn't even realize they were in the house. I was sound asleep that morning, and my family had let them in. They should not have, but they did. But I certainly told them the truth. I answered all of their questions.
Well, they never even bothered to look in the trunk.
No, never bothered to do that.
Did they ask you why they were, or had they been listening in by some listening device to the conversation you had?
Well, I don't know. I imagine that, I'm 99.9% sure that one of my adopted family members in Binghamton, New York, who I had just visited 2 days earlier, had called the government on me and had misinterpreted or exaggerated what I had said when I was talking about this book by a former FBI consultant who wrote in his book that he believes Al-Qaeda has already snuck suitcase-sized nuclear weapons into the country. So I'm probably never going to learn the truth, but the reason I included this in my book...
They spent 3 days talking to you or questioning you?
It was over a period of 3 days and for many hours.
Or were they trying to intimidate you as far as your book was concerned?
I'm pretty sure they were trying to intimidate me. And interestingly, 2 days later, I also, when I went down to interview Congressman Tom Tancredo on Capitol Hill, I learned the next day that I had been in the Capitol Hill police watch list. And I'm a very dangerous person.
Well, of course, the thing is that this what's wrong with it. The Patriot Act is not being used on Islamic terrorists.
No.
There is not one word in there about Islamic terrorism.
Anybody
who wants
citizen.
To change the structure of our society is considered a terrorist. Now, you know, if you go about that and you look at the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, they want to change the structure of our society, as do many members of the current administration, as does the President of the United States, as does Condoleezza Rice, as does Dick Cheney, because they're all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The President is not. He's a member of another secret society. But, of course, their real goal... is to change America. Does that make them terrorists? What have they been questioned by the FBI? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dan Sheehy. Well, tell us what eventually happened. Did they tell you that you had passed with flying muskets? Did they tell you you better not write your book? What was the inference on what they were doing?
Well, it's a fascinating story, and I have to tell you that I've met people who have read my book, and they said that the epilogue, my 12-page epilogue titled My Vacation with the FBI, is almost worth the price of the book alone. But, I can, kind of jest about it a little bit right now. It's a year and a half later, but it was incredibly traumatizing for myself and for my dad and for my wife. And what happened was a couple of days later, the FBI accused me of writing letters talking about weapons of mass destruction planted near the Democrat National Convention. This was last year. And they accused me of writing those letters. These letters they showed me were typewritten. They were very short. They were signed Patriot. And, of course, since I wrote this book with the subtitle American Patriots Battle to Save the Nation, obviously I must have been the one who wrote the letters to the FBI. And to this day, I don't know who wrote them. I probably will never find out. For all I know, the FBI could have fabricated the letters. But the reason I wrote about this in my book was not to talk about myself. I'm not important. I put this in my book because, of course, that very week, those 5 days that there were 3 days when they interrogated me, but during that five-day period, 30,000 people snuck into our country illegally, actually more than 30,000, snuck into our country illegally across our Mexican border. We have no idea who those people are. Yet, they investigated me in 7 states, and they then a couple of weeks later, the news media in Binghamton, New York, somehow got a hold of these FBI documents, and they're questioning of me. And so the news media in Binghamton, New York, in upstate New York, were then contacting me, calling me, radio, television, and newspapers, and wanting to talk about this story and, of course, sensationalize it. So it's
very... Of course,
Dan,
you realize that that was an intentional leak by the FBI.
Of course.
They leak things all the time. Now, that's in violation of the law. That's in violation of your privacy. This is what they did with the fellow that they accused of setting off the bomb at the Olympics. You remember what it was?
Yes, in Atlanta. Yes.
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And they leaked those things, and they destroyed that man's life. And they did it intentionally.
Yes.
Now, where does the government get off violating the laws? But I bet you're not going to see any investigation of them leaking that information, of their interrogation to the newspapers.
No, of course not. And of course, I haven't received an apology, and I never will. But the good news is that I am safe, and my book is published now, and it will be reissued this coming March by another publisher. And I believe tens of thousands of copies of my book will be sold across the country. And, I poured my heart into this book and spent 2 years researching and writing it without any income because I realized the serious nature of this massive illegal alien invasion of our nation. And the reason I focus on this is that massive illegal immigration affects virtually every aspect of our daily lives, every aspect of our society, from education to health care to crime, national sovereignty, national
security. Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dan Sheehy. His book is coming, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And let's go ahead and get the telephone number out just one more time and the website where people can learn about your book, Dan.
Great. Thank you for asking. The website is the same as the title of the book, FightingImmigrationAnarchy.com. It's a 329-page book, including index and lots of sources. The book is very well researched. There are a number of photos in there. And your listeners can order the book from my publisher, Author House, by going to authorhouse.com. You probably get your best price by buying it from Author House. Or you can call my publisher at 1-888-280-7715. Your listeners also can purchase or order the book from online sites such as Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and many others. Or they can go to their local bookstore, and they can order it there.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important that people understand that we really are under attack today. And the FBI is not interested in protecting you. I mean, stop and think about it. It's been over 4 years since the September 11th attack. And there's not been one major terrorist attack in the United States. Our borders are wide open. Our planes, most of them don't have marshals on them. They've done everything they could to block the arming of the pilots on our planes. They've made it as difficult as possible. We have no defense against surface-to-air missiles, shoulder-held surface-to-air missiles, so that our commercial planes could be brought down. And the thousands of planes that are flying every day, every one of them is vulnerable. Certainly the Israelis have protection on their planes. We have none on ours. We are broadcasting now on Telstar 5. It's an American satellite broadcasting the United States. And Al Jazeera, the Islamic terrorist television station that broadcasts the hate material from Al-Qaeda, is beaming down to Muslims right here in the United States. Why are they allowing that? Oh, freedom of speech? No, of course not. If they wanted to get that, you know, that... Al Jazeera off Telstar 5, they'd do it tomorrow, but for some reason they're just not doing it. Maybe the war on terror is not really a war on Americans at all. Maybe it is part of an overall program to take away our freedom. And, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, Dan, is the fact that one of the suggestions that's being made, how we're really going to stop this illegal immigration, is require every American to have an identification card. Have you run into that?
I have, and I'm very concerned about it. And, of course, if our federal government really wanted to do something about illegal immigration, they would enforce our existing immigration laws and crack down on the employers and the illegal aliens. Many of them, or most of them, would go to their home countries and so that Americans could have their jobs back. But, of course, instead of doing that, they want to make it so that everyone in our country has a national ID card. Well, of course, this sounds like Nazi Germany to me, and I believe that our government is creating a police state, and this whole war on terror is all part of this process of creating this massive police state, and we are the ones that they basically declared a war on American citizens. Let's just get down to it. And the goal is to bring down the American middle class, because that is the one thing in the globalist way of creating a new world order socialist one-world government.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's so vastly important that people understand what's happening. Now, I understand that certainly the illegal immigration has really changed the entire structure of Los Angeles, where you live, hasn't it?
It has. It has. Los Angeles, and I lived here in the 1960s, when I was a young teenage boy with my family. We moved back east, and then I returned here. I wanted to return to sunny Southern California. I came back here in 1988, and it didn't take me long to realize that Southern California, once just a fabulous place, had changed dramatically. The vast Los Angeles region, which really is sprawling. If you've been here, you know it's sprawling. There are 10 million people living in Los Angeles County alone, but it's mostly a Mexican colony surrounded by wealthy gated communities, and that is what it has become.
That's sort of the way it is in Mexico. You know, they have, you know, everybody's sprawling and impoverished, and then of course they have the very wealthy in their gated communities.
Exactly. That's a very accurate description. The same with other countries south of the border, and of course this is spreading now to neighboring counties around Los Angeles County, Orange County and Ventura County and San Bernardino County and San Diego County, and it's becoming this one giant Mexican colony. It has gotten so bad that that many of us Americans, including myself, we don't travel to many parts of the Los Angeles
hold
area.
Hold that thought right there. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Dan Shave. We've got Paula on the line from Florida. Hi, Paula. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. How are you, Stan?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, that's great. I hope you had a wonderful holiday.
We really did.
Oh, great. Anyway, you just said something about, you know, whether these Muslims were after us or not. Reverend Peters came on one night and said that is what the Muslims said is that they said they were after the Jews that were running our government that are with Satan.
I see. Well, of course, the thing is that I don't really believe the Jews are running our government, because George Bush isn't a Jew.
Uh-huh.
Is Condoleezza Rice a Jew? Do you think that Dick Cheney and Donald
Rumsfeld
are Jews?
I don't know, because Abraham did have black children, but but I'm just saying that's what he told us.
Right. Well, I would question his...
I think what they're talking about was the Illuminati.
Well, that's fine if he wants to talk about the secret societies and the satanic movements, but to try to put this off on the Zionists, I think, is... or the Jews is a mistake. Certainly, some Jews are involved, but there are a lot of people who are not Jews. Certainly, Bill Clinton isn't Jewish, and he claims to be a Christian. In fact, Billy Graham, on his last crusade, you know, the last meeting, the last crusade, he had Bill and Hillary up there on the podium, and he said to Bill,
you should be a
Christian evangelist and let Hillary run the nation. So,
I'm going to tell you why they were all there. They're all from the House of David.
Billy Graham's from the House of David?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much. Let's go to Roger calling from Henderson. Hi, Roger. How are you?
Doing just fine, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I just want to add some comments with Dan tonight. I know what you guys are talking about, absolutely, how they're trying to downgrade our pay for the middle class American working citizens. They're doing that fine here in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the gaming industry, because they're run by corporations.
No. How do you mean? They're just lowering the wage levels
there? I got a 17-cent pay raise this year, and you never heard of 17-cent pay raises before. You know, you probably heard of them back way during the 20s and 30s.
What sort of work did you do, Roger?
I'm a security officer, I make $16.48 an hour, and it's hard to keep up the cost of living or anything. They're just trying to wipe me out and everybody else who does my type of job out here in Vegas.
But I think you're going to find that there is an organized effort to lower our wage scale and lower our living standards, and that's a point that Dan makes so well in his book.
Yeah, also I'd like to ask Dan a question. Have you heard about diversity, Dan? They're trying to indoctrinate all the workers clear across this country. I went through it, and I just let it go in one way and not the other, but they're trying to say that the English language is going to be like a combination of Spanglish.
Heard
that one?
Yes, I have heard about it, and in fact, I believe there's a radio station here in the Los Angeles area that is completely in Spanglish. I haven't heard about it, but...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dan Shea, and our caller is Roger from Nevada, from Henderson, Nevada. So Roger was just saying that they're talking about a Spanglish, a new language. Of course, they're going to combine English and Spanish because, after all, we've all got to get to learn to get along together. I think that's what Rodney King said, but the whole idea is to destroy the American culture. To have a multicultural society and a multilingual society, and to lower the living standards of the American people. Go ahead, Roger. Roger was saying he works as a security guard in Las Vegas there, and he got a 17-cent an hour wage rise. But you're not about to quit your job, are you, because you didn't get a bigger raise?
No, because it's the only type of job I could do, and I have to stick with it.
Right.
But our cost of living goes up, and our wage increase don't match the cost of living increases out here in Vegas or anywhere across the country.
Yeah.
And people like me, I think they're all experiencing it also. And also, I have some information about that Minuteman. I'm also a Minuteman myself. I have the website and a phone number. If you'd like to have that on air, Dr. Stan, I'll be glad to give that to you.
Why don't you go ahead and just put the telephone number out?
That's area code 520-457-2320, and that's in Tombstone, Arizona. And that's P.O. Box 1489, Tombstone, Arizona. Zip code there is 85638.
All right, why don't you give that telephone number one more time, Roger?
Yes, that's area code 520-457-2320. 2320.
Well, I thank you and appreciate the fact you're willing to get involved and do something, because what we need, though, is for people to see the larger picture. They've got to understand that immigration and what is happening as far as immigration is simply a reflection of this globalist agenda that is being pushed by the leaders of both political parties, who have no loyalty to America, but are intent upon destroying our sovereignty, destroying our freedom, and impoverishing our people. Anything else you want to say, Roger?
No, that's basically about it there, Dr. Stan. Yeah. And also, I just want to say God bless you and wish you a very, very happy New Year coming up here in a couple days.
God bless you. Thank you so very much.
And also, wish you get the same thing, too.
And, Dan, what are your thoughts about what Roger was saying?
Well, I want to applaud Roger, and I hope other listeners emulate what he has done, because joining the Minutemen, becoming a Minuteman, I think is a great step. It will take Americans with guts, with grit, with courage to save our country. And we can do that. We can do extraordinary things. The founder of the Minuteman Project, as Roger probably knows, is Jim Gilchrist. Jim is a regular guy in Orange County, California. He had been retired for a couple of years. He was an accountant, had his own CPA firm, and he was a decorated Vietnam War veteran. And he was looking around and getting so sick of the invasion, the illegal alien invasion of Orange County, and realizing not enough people were getting involved in doing something. And he started the Minuteman Project. It really is an astounding story, because here is one man, along with Chris Simcox, who co-founded the organization with him. And look at the attention they brought to the border crisis. They brought not just national attention, but worldwide attention to this. And it shows what amazing, extraordinary things that individual Americans can do if they have the courage to stand up and take action and do something. So I applaud Roger, your listener, very much.
I really think the thing that I hope Roger will use this as an opportunity to educate the people there in the Minutemen about the big picture, because until people understand the big picture, they're not going to understand anything that's going on. In other words, if you just look at it as a problem for immigration, but it is not a problem of immigration. Immigration is a reflection of the organized effort by the people at the highest levels of our government who would destroy this nation. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Jim. Do you have a question or comment for our guest this evening?
Oh, yes. I was wondering if he had ever come across, he mentioned the police state, and a few years ago, I discovered...
Just speak a little louder, Jim.
Sure. An article in a magazine called Guns and Ammo about the fact that the United States adopted the Nazi Gun Act word for word in 1968.
That was Senator Dodd that did that. Yeah, that they actually got the Nazi Gun Act translated into English and got that passed.
And the group that did the research, Dr. Stan, is... Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership.
Well, you're absolutely right, and they do a great job.
So I every chance I would bring this to people's attention, they'd look at me in utter disbelief. And so I decided, well, I handed out the only copy of the magazine I had. Of course, I was never returned. So I contacted Guns and Ammo and asked for a copy, and they refused to send me a copy of the article.
Well, why don't you go to I've forgotten the gentleman who runs the Shoes for the Preservation of the Right to Bear Arms, but, certainly I'm sure he could get that information for you. We've had him as a guest on several occasions on our programs.
Is that Aaron Zellman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. God bless. Anything else you want to say, Jim?
Well, there was Dr. Stan, and I somehow forgot. I guess it's the holiday spirit that's overtaken me.
Maybe that's just too much spirit. Anyway. God bless you. Have a wonderful New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right, now let's go to Steve calling from Albany, New York. Hi, Steve. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, this is one of the best shows you've ever done, Dr. Stan. I appreciate your guest taking, 2 hours with us to, shed some information for us. Two things I want to discuss. My friend is on social services, and it's amazing. She gets a letter from the social services. On the back of the envelope, it's in like 10 different languages. What is going on? This is America, one language, and the radio stations. I worked in the radio business. It's amazing. I'm losing more and more of my stations because they got a broadcast for other, people. It's not right. It's not fair.
All right, you're absolutely right. But Dan, do you have anything to say to Steve? He thinks it's not right, it's not fair, but this is the way it's going, isn't it?
It is, and Steve's absolutely right, and I can hear the frustration in his voice, and it's the frustration, frankly, that millions of Americans are experiencing today. I would like to suggest, and I had forgotten to do this, one of the people that I feature in my book is Roy Beck. Roy is a fabulous man. He lives in Northern Virginia, Arlington, Virginia, just across the Potomac from our nation's capital. And Roy was an environmental journalist for many, many years, and he understood that this massive immigration into our country, both legal and illegal, that was destroying the quality of our life. And he started an organization by mortgaging his home called NumbersUSA.com. And I would really encourage your listeners to, if they're on the Internet, to join NumbersUSA.com. It costs absolutely nothing. I've been a member for 3 years, and I've enjoyed it because I feel very empowered. And what it allows you to do is you can fax through the NumbersUSA.com system. It's a very sophisticated system. You can fax your representative or senator in Washington on these immigration matters.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can. It's in addition, it's a great website because the website shows all of the voting records for every member of the U.S. Senate and every member of the House of Representatives on the matter of immigration. So you can see where they stand, and NumbersUSA.com gives each member of Congress a letter grade, you know, like A, B, C, D, F. And so you can find out if your representative, I think you said you're in the Albany, New York area.
That's correct.
Yeah, you can find out their voting record on this very important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's called NumbersUSA.com.
NumbersUSA.com.
Okay, my last thing I wanted to point out, you mentioned Los Angeles. I didn't know there was 10 million people in the county area.
Yes, that's correct.
In the metro, I guess.
In the L.A. And, county.
Right. Now, I grew up in Long Island, a very wealthy area. I lived there all my life, and I had to move recently because the gangs were coming in from other countries. You pull up to a gas station and you wish there was a cop there because you just to go to the gas. There's tons of gangs and it just wrecked the community. Plus they took up all the rentals and they caused a major housing shortage. And I had to move 200 miles away just to get away from the nonsense. I missed Long Island, the beaches, and it's where I grew up. But I had to move because I couldn't deal with the gangs. It's amazing. And I just think we got to do something, and I'll go to NumbersUSA, and Dr. Stan and your guests, thank you very much for enlightening the public, and we got to do something.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
And
God
let's
bless.
Go to Roger calling from Allentown. Now, Roger, do you have a question?
Yes, I do, but I think you'd appreciate hearing that on McLaughlin Group's annual awards for 2005 yesterday. McLaughlin himself, his award for the bummest rap went to Bush himself for labeling the militiamen as vigilantes.
All right, fine. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, if you please, I'm guessing these federal officers are trained and have demands made upon them for efficiency, like the process of elimination being one of the preeminent concerns. Would you care to guesstimate after how many minimum hour or two or whatever that was all eliminated and it was just the gravy of intimidation after that?
You're speaking now of when the FBI came to interview our guest?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure I understand the question.
Basically, he wanted to know how much information they really wanted from you. How much of it was just an effort to intimidate you?
Well, I mean, after a certain time, they must have already run dry on...
In other words, didn't they run out of questions after a while?
Well, yeah, I think they did, and I think they realized that... I wasn't the guy who wrote those letters and sent them to the Binghamton, New York FBI office. They wanted handwriting samples from me, and I couldn't even have a lawyer present for that.
You tell them that they have no right even to question you without a lawyer.
They gave me a grand jury subpoena from a New York State judge. And, of course, I gave them the handwriting samples, and they let me go home after that.
Everything was trying to intimidate you.
Yes,
you can really say, you know, certainly if you're going to question me about anything, I have a right to have a lawyer present.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just doing their job. Unfortunately, that's just the way it was in Hitler's Germany. They were just doing what they were told to do, and I think they really wanted to intimidate you.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought up about the Jews and Nazi Germany, because that week I had a far better understanding of what the Jewish people went through under Nazi Germany. I don't have a complete understanding because I've never experienced such horrible terror in my life, thank God. But I had a better understanding of how terrified they must have felt when there were knocks on the door.
Well, it was just after the 911 when I got a call from a FBI agent in the Oklahoma City area. I won't use his name, but I remember it very well. And he said that somebody had told about the newsletter I'd sent out after 911, and he wanted to know if I was a Christian, and then he wanted to know if I believed these were the latter days. And I said, well, Christians have always believed that these were the latter days. I mean, they've been believing that since the time of Paul, but I believe that there's much to show that these are the latter days. I asked him why he wanted to know and if that was illegal against the law, and he was sort of stammered and stuttered. And so I called him a couple of months later, and I said, I want to know why you wanted to know about my religious beliefs. Is it against the law to be as a Christian? Is it against the law to believe that these may be the latter days? Oh, he said, you're not under investigation. I said, well, why did you call me then? You're not under investigation. I said, but would you please tell me why you called me? Well, I want you to know you're not under investigation. So he was really quite frightened that I was questioning why he wanted to know my religious views.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that, well, anyway, they're doing their job, but I'm really more worried about the people who are ordering them to do things like this.
Yes.
Instead of going after the illegal aliens in America, they're trying to intimidate people who are writing books about illegal immigration.
Exactly. It was very ironic. And in fact, I told the agents, the first agents who interviewed me in my father's home, I will tell you, they were polite. They were professional. They were not intimidating, as the agents were a few days later. But the first agents who questioned me, I felt that they were, what I was trying to point out to them was that the day that they were interviewing me, 10,000 people were coming across our southern border illegally. And our government's priorities are misplaced, to say the least.
Well, I think that what they want to do is give the impression they're really concerned about terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're really concerned about terrorism, the first thing you would do would be to seal our borders.
Exactly, exactly.
And the second thing you would do would be to try to capture Osama bin Laden.
Exactly.
And they're not trying to capture Osama bin Laden. And the third thing you would try to do would be cut off funding for the insurgents, which is coming from, the Palestine Liberation Organization in Israel that we're financing. It's coming from Saudi Arabia that we're financing. It's coming from Pakistan that we're financing. Why don't we cut off the funding for the insurgents and for the families of the insurgents that are giving a large financial stipend after they've blown up and killed some of our men? Something's wrong with the whole picture. Well, hey, look, thanks so very much for calling. Let's go to Jack, who's calling back from Michigan. Hi, Jack.
Yes, Dr. Stan, I remember. There's a police chief who engaged in some innovative policing relative to illegal aliens, whereby he enforced criminal trespass laws wherever his officers located these illegal aliens. And what about business of having them deported that way by a criminal trespass. And secondly, I wanted to ask Dan if he's ever heard of the fact that, and I discovered this a few years ago, that the FBI or any of these federal bureaus, they have legal authority or jurisdiction only in the District of Columbia, where the municipal corporation is located, and its federal territories. Now, what they've done is they've tricked everyone into believing that where they live is the corporate United States, a federal territory designated by an address and a zip code. But when you challenge them on it, we are not in a federal territory here, are we? You have jurisdiction only in the District of Columbia and its federal territory.
Well, of course, unfortunately, Jack, they don't agree and they don't abide by the law. But you're absolutely right. They, you know, you're every point you're making is absolutely right. But the reality is that they're going to go ahead and arrest people all across America without the jurisdiction to do it. So, you know, we've got real problems. What we need, of course, are people in government who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the laws of this country and are going to abide by them. Well, let's get your telephone number out one more time, the telephone number of your publisher and your website.
Great. Thank you again. The website is the same as the title of the book, FightingImmigrationAnarchy.com. It's a 329-page book. And I should point out, I forgot to say this earlier, the book is an easy read. It's a page-turner. I wrote it kind of like a novel. I didn't want to write another immigration book that can sometimes be depressing and filled with lots of numbers and kind of bogs you down. This is a real page-turner. The book, my website is FightingImmigrationAnarchy.com. It can be ordered from my publisher, Author House. You can go to AuthorHouse.com and order it there. You can call my publisher at 1-888-280-7715.
Okay, we're going to have to go to a break, right? Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody had called in and said that if you wanted to track down the facts concerning the fact that our laws here in the United States, our gun laws, came from Hitler's Germany, somebody suggested you Google on the Internet, Senator Dodd, Hitler gun, and then it brings up the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms, then, of course, you can just track down Ellman that way. So, or just look at Aaron Zellman, or look up Jews for the Preservation of Firearms, and they've got some excellent material. Well, we've got about 2 minutes for you to wrap up the program. It's been a fascinating time, Dan. What thought would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, thank you for doing all that you do with your radio program to enlighten and educate Americans about what is really going on. Thank God for people like you that hopefully we can save our nation. I would like to leave listeners with the following, and that is that they can do a lot more than they may realize. The message throughout my book is that regular people, ordinary people, like the Jim Gilchrist and Tom Tancredos and many others that I write in my book, they can save our country. They can do extraordinary things, but they do have to. They have to get off the couch. They have to put down the remote. They have to get out of the shopping malls. But they've got to put some time into this. And they can run for public office. Your listeners can run for public office. It doesn't have to be a high-level office. They can join the Minutemen, as one of your listeners did there in Las Vegas. They can become a member of NUM, costs nothing to tell your representative or your senator you feel and what you want to see done. There are many actions that Americans can do to get involved. And so I would like to leave your listeners with the message that ordinary people with the guts to save our country can do extraordinary things.
I think that's a wonderful message because we have to be involved. And there's a great deal we can do. Had we been doing what was correct all along, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today. And what we need are people who are willing to, you know, to commit themselves, their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the preservation of this country, as did our forefathers who signed the Declaration of Independence. And had they been the sort of mealy-mouthed people we have today, had they believed that we have no obligation to stand against a government tyranny and that certainly God told us simply to go along with whatever government says, had they really believed Romans 13, I think it is, what's preached there, why we'd be speaking English today. Good night, Dan. God bless you. Thanks so much.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization, because behind this entire movement to bring about a one world order and a one world religion and a cashless society where no one will buy or sell unless they wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, and As soon as you recognize this, so much of what's going on today really begins to make sense. We're moving towards a world government. And, of course, the people who are responsible for this are the leaders of both political parties, and there really are secret societies out there. And if you go into the background of the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921, but that it came from a secret society that was organized by Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. How do I know that? Because I have the diary of a man who was a member of the original secret society, and he tells the story. The man's diary was William Stead. Anyone who wants to see the pages from that, why, we'd be glad to send it to them. But, of course, you can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and learn so much about this. And if you really want to understand what's going on, you need to study the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. And you'll learn a lot about that if you go to my website at www.radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our May and June newsletters. I think they were this year, 2005. And of course, it's on the spiritual, on the occult hierarchy. And you're welcome to pull down those newsletters and to copy them. And you go back through the years, back to 1999, I think, is the first newsletter I wrote going into the background of the spiritual hierarchy. And these secret societies, and there are a number of letters there. Some of them are written by our good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Get the information, study the information, challenge the information, prove it wrong. Until you understand that there are spiritual forces behind everything, you can't understand anything going on today. Until you understand there is a conspiracy against God, you can't understand why the Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schoolrooms and out of public places. If you go to the Supreme Court building, as I have, and you walk into the room where the Supreme Court sits, you'll find on those great wood panel doors that go into the room the reproduction of the Ten Commandments. If you look over where the Supreme Court justices sit, on the marble beam above them, you'll see a replica of the Ten Commandments. And when the Supreme Court opens every day, it says, God save the United States. And why? The cost of your energy and your natural gas and your electricity and your gasoline is going up. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Peak Oil, too, if you'd like to understand what's really going on in Iraq and the fact that it's really a diversion to keep us from going, understanding what's happening at home. Ask for Deja Vu in Iraq. And then pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so till we're together again, may the Lord be with you.